Sunday to look at David. So where we left it last week, at the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, David had finally been installed as the king over all of Israel. Remember, the first 7 years of his reign, he was only over Judah and ruled from Hebron. And so now today we see where they take Jerusalem, and that becomes the new headquarters, or that's probably the wrong word, but you know what I mean, of Israel, and stays that way till the end of time, essentially. So just to give you some context, when we look at David today, when he gets installed as the king over all of Israel, it's been 12 years since he was anointed by Samuel. That's a long time, isn't it? We talked last week about his patience. We're in 2 Samuel 5, by the way. So 12 years from the time that he was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel until he became the king of Israel. 5 years essentially running from Saul, and then 7 years only ruling and reigning over Judah in Hebron while having a civil war with Israel over Saul's son being installed as king. And now, finally, he is the king over all of Israel, 12 years from when he was anointed. So he was, when he was anointed, he was 25 years old. So now today, he is 37 years old. So he took over in Hebron at 30 years old. And then at 37, he became the king over all Israel and ruled from Jerusalem for 33 years until he was 70. So, here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 to 10, we see where David takes a new city to set up as the new head of Israel, or the main city of Israel. So verses 6 to 10, Howard, if you could read that to introduce it for us, 2 Samuel 5.
And when they came to Nazareth, threshing for Uzziah, put his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it.
I think you might be in the wrong chapter, or maybe I'm in the wrong chapter.
Samuel
2 Samuel 5. Sorry, verse 6.
And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jezreelites and inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind in the land, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the blind, the lame and the blind, that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David looked round about from Melo and inward, and David went out and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him.
Amen. Let's look at the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. So here it's referred to as Zion. But here in 2 Chronicles 11, down in verse 4, it's the parallel passage, but here it's referred to as Jerusalem. Same place. Amen? Zion and Jerusalem are the same place. Jerusalem means, anybody? City of peace. It's been anything but for the past 2,500 years, but that's what Jerusalem stands for. But one day the Prince of Peace will rule from there, amen? And it will be the City of Peace. All right, so let's go back to 2 Samuel 5, and we'll pray, and we'll continue looking at the life of David. He is now the king over all Israel after waiting 12 years from when he was anointed. He now has a new city to rule and reign from, more centrally located, called Jerusalem or Zion. And here in 2 Samuel 5, 11 and 12, we'll see where he gets a house. But first, let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue studying your word, I pray, Lord, that we would learn things from the life of David that would help us, Lord, understand why he was a man after your own heart. And I pray, Lord, that we would glean from this things that would guide us. So, Lord, give us your wisdom and your presence now. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So here in verses 11 to 12 of chapter 5, we see that the king of Tyre agrees to build him a house. So, Brent, could you read 11 and 12 for us? So David perceived that the Lord had established him king. So David perceived that finally, the thing that he was anointed to be 12 years ago, David perceived that it's now for real. Just keeps hitting my pen here. But did you notice, we still see the humility. He had exalted his kingdom for whose sake? For David's sake? No, for the people's sake. So that's quite special, isn't it? He didn't say he did it for my sake. He did it for my people's sake. So we still see David. It's about the people. We still see the humility in David. And so Psalm 30, if you want to turn there, David actually wrote this psalm at the dedication of his new house. How do we know this? Because it says so at the top of Psalm 30. So some of you have the extra words before the actual psalm. Some of you don't. They are in the manuscripts in the Hebrew. So if you do have the words, anybody? Yep. Can you read those for us, Mark? What does it say?
A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David.
So this psalm was written by David at the dedication of his new house, which Tyre, or the king of Tyre, built for him. And so it probably would be appropriate that we read it. Roy, if you could read Psalm 30 for us. It's only 12 verses.
I would exalt thee, O Lord, thou hast lifted me up, hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger is dear. Praise thee, shall it declare thy truth. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning to dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks of thee, my Lord.
So he's giving God the glory. Amen. He's now got a house. He now is ruling and reigning over the whole nation from Jerusalem. And God gets the glory. So that's quite beautiful. All right, 2 Samuel 5, verse 13. We find a little chink in his armor. What was his son's greatest weakness when he ruled and reigned? Women. We can all agree that that was the downfall of Solomon, wasn't it? Was women. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. But where did he get this from? Well, how many wives does David have up to this point? Anybody remember from last week?
Seven.
It went back up to 7 because remember, he asked for Michal back. He had 6 at that point. He said, I want Michal back because she was my original first wife. And so he got her back. Now he has 7 wives. But verse 13 tells us that it carried on. Brother Mark, could you read that for us, Mark Zeus? Just 13.
And David took a more concubine and wives out of Jerusalem. After he was come from Hebron, and there were not yet sons and daughters born
So these were not political marriages because they all came out of Jerusalem. These were women from Jerusalem. And at this point, we don't know how many wives David had because the Bible doesn't tell us. We had seven up to this point, and it says he took him more concubines and wives. So we see where Solomon got the idea, don't we? To have both wives and concubines. And does everybody know what a concubine is, or do we have to discuss it? Everybody's okay and understands? Beth? Pardon?
And this guy is called mistresses.
Yeah, that would probably be a good comparison.
Or on the media, they call it friends with benefits. I think that's an American term.
Well, most people watch American TV and know what it means, but anyway. Yeah, as if having seven plus wives isn't enough. Then he has some other women on the side for basically one purpose. We all understand what that purpose is. So we see where Solomon gets his weakness. So just kind of put that in your mind for the future when we get to Solomon, that David was a man after God's own heart, but he was not perfect. He was a sinner like the rest of us. And he had a weakness, and that weakness was women. And at this point, we don't know how many wives he had. We just know it was more than seven. It was at least 10 wives and concubines. But it's plural. It says more concubines and wives. So if there were at least two of each more, he has at least 11 now. But we don't know how many. Sad, but that's the reality of it. So now the Philistines decide to take on David again. They've had a lot to do with the Philistines, haven't they? Remember this guy named Goliath? It's been a while, hasn't it, since he was young. So James, if you could read 17 to 21. Wait a minute. Images? What's that about? They were not perfect. And yet God is answering him. Did you see that? He inquired, and the Lord answered him directly and said, yes, go fight the Philistines, and you will win. And then David decided, you know, God's with us. God's given us all of Israel. We're one now. He's given us this city, Jerusalem, Zion. I think it's time that we burnt our images, which are idols. How sad that some of his men still had idols. But they decided it's time to get rid of them completely, and they burned them. So then, 1 Chronicles 14, the Philistines decide to attack again. 1 Chronicles 14, cash 13 to 17.
And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto them, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to the battle, for God has gone before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gaza. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations.
David again inquired of God, and God again answered. He said, David, this time we're going to use a different military technique. It's not going to be a direct on battle. This time I want you to what? I want you to go up against the trees and wait and attack them from the side. But it says God went before them. Did you see that? God has gone before thee to smite the host. So God won this battle. And then verse 17, what a beautiful statement. Look what it says. The Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. So Israel is reaching its peak, if you will, as a nation. Now they're respected among the nations around them as being a great nation. They have a great king. And the fear of David, that's who it's talking about, was upon all the surrounding nations. So this is a beautiful thing. So David decides it's probably a good time to bring the Ark of the Covenant. Who made that? Anybody remember? How long has that been around? Anybody? Starts with M. Under Moses, remember? Moses had God had him make the ark, and they put the tablets inside from the Ten Commandments and some other things, Aaron's rod. And it's still around centuries later. And here in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, David decides it's time to bring it back to the central location so that the ark is where it should be, in the middle of Jerusalem with the king. And that brings us to 1 Chronicles 13, 1 to 4. Brad, could you read that?
And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren in Egypt, that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for he inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people.
This will be the first time that all of Israel is going to come to one place in a very long time. They're living in all their different regions. We already know how many soldiers. Anybody remember that number? It was 340,000 soldiers that had come and said, we are yours, David. So take that. It means there's millions in Israel. And David said, let's all meet together here in Jerusalem. Let's bring the ark back. Everybody says, that's a great idea. You're the king. Whatever you want, essentially. So the ark begins its journey here in chapter 13, verses 5 to 6. Any volunteers over here before I move back? Thank you, Nathan. Amen. So this is it. Let's bring the ark back. And Howard, verses 7 to 8, the celebration.
And carried the ark of the God, in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzziah and Ahimelech drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and were singing and with harps and with palsies and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets.
So this is a big celebration. David's leading it. They're singing. They're playing instruments. They're excited to see the Ark of God come to Jerusalem. But all doesn't go well. Verses 9 to 14. Let's see what happens, Brent.
And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God unto me? So David brought not the ark unto himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obededom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obededom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obededom and all that he had.
So God was still blessing those who had the ark, but Uzzah touched it, and God killed him. Why would God kill them? Thoughts? This was a day of celebration. And all of Israel had come together to celebrate, and then God kills Uzzah for touching the ark. Anybody? Any thoughts? Yep. So God considered it holy. And who was allowed to touch the ark? Only the priests, the Levites, were allowed to touch the ark. Uzzah was not one of those. He was just a transport company hired to bring it to Jerusalem. And he was just trying to protect it from falling off the cart and maybe breaking. So why would God kill him? Well, he wasn't allowed to touch it. But now we're going to go to chapter 15. This all happened because they weren't obeying God in the first place on how to transport the ark. God had given very explicit instructions through Moses, it's in the law, on how to transport the ark and who was allowed to touch it and transport it. That's not what they did. They put it on a horse cart and the oxen stumbled and it almost fell off. They didn't have any good straps back then, I guess. And God killed him for touching it. So verses 15, 1 to 4, David decides it's after 3 months, it's time to try again and bring it to Jerusalem. Roy, if you'd read that. Maybe David went back and read the Bible. But look what he said. None ought to carry the ark but the Levites. Well, why didn't they do that the first time? So this time they do it properly, 12 to 14. Mark, if you could read that for us. 1 Chronicles 15.
Visions.
12 to 14, please.
Unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, and ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place I have prepared for it. For behold, ye did it, because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark.
After the due order. What does he mean by that? What's he mean, Cash? Right. He said, we didn't do it right the first time. We should have done it according to the word of God, and we didn't. And so there was a breach upon us, and this man died for touching it. So this time, only Levites, you need to sanctify yourselves first and prepare yourselves before you carry the ark. And this time, it's not going to be brought on a cart. This time, they did it properly. But 15 to 16, David even chooses some musicians. So, Cash, if you could read those two verses for us.
The children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders for the slaves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers for the instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice.
Notice it says they carried it on their shoulders with the staves thereon as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. This wasn't a gray area, was it? Moses said, whenever you transport this ark, here's how it has to be done. God said that through Moses. Only Levites can carry it. The reason it has rings on the four corners, it's because you just put staves through there and the Levites carry it on their shoulders. You don't put it on a cart. God was very clear about how to transport it. This time they did it right and no one dies. So just need to follow the word of God. Amen. And David is learning this. So what happens next? The ark does make it back to Jerusalem, 25 to 28. Brad, if you could read that. I skipped all that long list of names, if that's okay with you.
Okay with me, Pastor. We're in 15, still right.
25, chapter 15, 25 to 28.
So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Chenina, the master of the song of the singers, David also had upon him ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psaltery and harps. And it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michael, the daughter of Saul, looking out of the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart.
Just always seems to be another problem around the corner, doesn't there? But it makes it back to Jerusalem. David prepared a special tent for it. It's there now. So go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll have to bounce back and forth for a while. Why did she despise him in her heart? Let's see. So Nathan, chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, verses 16 and 17.
As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it.
David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Amen. So she saw him dancing and leaping and despised him in her heart. We'll see more about that later. But then they have this amazing celebration, Howard 18 and 19.
And as soon as David had made the end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the men, woman as men to everyone, a cake of bread and a good piece of fish and a flagon of wine, so all the people departed, everyone to his house.
Amen. So the big celebration, the ark is in Jerusalem, David is the king over all of Israel. So we need to go back to 1 Chronicles 16. And David appoints some Levites to constantly minister before the ark. So, Brent, could you read 16 verses 4 to 7?
And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to report and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, and Jemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Abednego. And Jeiel with psalteries and with harps. Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jahaziel, the priests with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. And And on that day, David delivered first his son, thank the Lord, into the hand of Asaph and his brethren.
You've probably seen that name in your Bible reading, Asaph. Where have you seen it? Anybody?
He was well known for writing fables.
Different Asaph.
Oh, how would I know?
But where have you seen that name? Anybody?
No,
A-S-A-P-H, Asaph. Beryl? Right. He wrote 12 of the Psalms. So as you're reading through the Psalms, sometimes at the top it'll say a Psalm of Asaph, whom David appointed to be, what was his new job, if you will? We just read it. What did he deliver into the hand of Asaph? He is now in charge of praising the Lord. And in charge of essentially an orchestra and a choir to sing praises around the ark. And remember, the word psalm means a song. So they sang these, the Jews did. The 150 psalms that we love in our scriptures, they were songs that the Jews sang. And many of them were around this occasion, around the ark, returning to Jerusalem or being in Jerusalem, the new headquarters of Israel. And Asaph, like I said, wrote at least 12 of them. Many of them aren't labeled, so we're not sure, but at least 12 of them, it says a psalm of Asaph. And then David, and we're not going to read it today. For the sake of time, you can read it on your own. But verses 8 down through verse 36 is a psalm that David wrote, or a song, we'll say, to celebrate the ark returning to Jerusalem. And this psalm is actually a couple of the psalms in the same, or put together in this chapter, at least Psalm 105 and 96, and at least one other are embedded in this chapter. But this is a psalm or song that David specifically wrote to praise the Lord for the returning of the, or for the ark coming to Jerusalem. But we won't read it. If we read all the psalms in our study, then we would, you know, we'd be here till Jesus comes. But
when you know when that's going to be?
It's sometime this afternoon. So make sure you're ready.
I'm glad you have a sense of humor.
Anyway, read that in your homework this week. Your homework is to read verses 8 through 36 of 1 Chronicles 16, which is a beautiful psalm that David wrote to celebrate the ark, to celebrate having the Levites there, having all this choir, having this orchestra there, to constantly be singing praises unto the Lord. David was all about praising the Lord, wasn't he? I mean, if you had to pick a theme of the Psalms, what would it be? It'd be praise, wouldn't it? The 150 Psalms. And a few of them may be a different theme, but overall, there's no question that will be the theme. He's praising God. And that's what David was all about here, was praising the Lord. So down to verse 43, so we'll jump ahead past the psalm itself. It says, "And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house." So the celebration is complete. David returns home. And so go to 2 Samuel 6 and we'll finish there and see a little bit more about this situation with Michal, his first/seventh wife, depending on how you want to look at it. So verses 20 to 23, I forget where we are in our reading. It's Roy.
David returned to Bethlehem's house. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, come over himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly had covered himself." David said unto Michal, "Goes before the Lord, which chose thee before thy father, before all his household, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. I will give servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be held in honor. Therefore Michael the daughter of Saul had no child until the day of her birth.
I guess God didn't approve of her rebuking her husband and her king. But verse 21, very important. The Lord chose me. So David hasn't forgotten, has he? The Lord which chose me before my father and before all his house. Remember that incident way back in 1 Samuel 16 where they lined up the brothers and all the brothers were there except the little one who was keeping the sheep, David. He said, God chose me before my father, chose me before all my brothers to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord. That happened 12 years before Samuel died. But he said, yes, I'm going to get excited about the ark. I'm going to praise God with all my might. And when you see the word dancing, it's not what we think of today in dancing, okay? David was just so excited to see the ark come to Jerusalem, to see Israel as one nation, that he was just leaping and praising God. It wasn't what we call dancing today. They didn't have the syncopated rock beat back then. And it was just complete, utter ecstasy that God had done this. And he was leaping and singing and praising God. So don't get confused by that word dancing. It's not a negative thing back then. Okay. So thoughts or questions before we close in prayer? But Michael didn't like it, did she? Anybody? So Israel's reaching its peak right now. As we saw, the fear of David was upon all the surrounding nations. They're not fighting right now, which is rare. And the ark is in Jerusalem. The king is in Jerusalem. And everybody's gone home with a full tummy and happy hearts. Things seem really good. Wouldn't it be great if it could stay that way? But it never does.